We're in a series called Spiritual Armor, putting on the spiritual armor, putting on the whole armor of God. The last couple of weeks, we've been speaking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the sword of the Spirit, part three, is where we are this morning. And we've had a living example of the first comments I wanted to make anyway. God wants to speak to His people. How many know God wants to talk to you? God wants to talk to His people. In the Old Testament, the name Jehovah literally means in the Hebrew, when you chase it down to its root, Jehovah is the self-existent one who reveals Himself. He reveals Himself in a whole wide variety of ways. The God who heals, the God who is our protection, the God who's the banner and the shield over us, the God who's our forgiver, our deliverance, the God who has all-encompassing power, omniscient, omnipotent. He is everything. But He reveals Himself. He comes to you and me, and He says, lay those burdens down. Let me take them. I am here for you. I want you to know that I'm here. How many know Jesus is right here for you? John 1 verse 14 tells us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is that?
Jesus.
Come on, real loud.
Jesus.
And He's looking for a people to whom He can speak and invest His Word and His purposes. He's looking for people. There's a scripture that says, His eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is yielded, perfect, or guided, inclined to Him. He's looking. He's just looking for folks who want to see Him. Open my eyes, Lord, to see Jesus. My ears to hear You. I want to see You. I want to know You. I want to walk with You. Oh, Lord. And He says, okay, I'm for those people. I want to reveal Myself to those people. He's got a destiny to fulfill in your life and in mine. Three people think so, huh? A destiny to fulfill. He wants to invest His Word, His purposes. He wants the kingdoms of this earth to become the kingdoms of our Christ. That's what the scripture declares. Bring Your kingdom, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. He wants His people to be a victorious army, not down underneath the circumstances. He strengthens us so we can live what He wants us to live, so we don't have to yield to the temptations, so we can be the real deal. We talked last week and in times past in the book of Philippians, where He said, I want you to be sincere Christians. How many remember what that means? No wax. Dealing with the artwork that had been destroyed by the enemies, and some unscrupulous kind of artifacts or artisans would put them back together again, and they would put wax in the spaces where it was broken and shattered, and they'd repaint, and people would take and pay big money for these treasures, take them home, set them up in their gardens, and in the heat of the day, what do you think happened? The wax began to melt and the cracks began to show. And God is saying, I want you to be the real deal. No wax, but real grace. Filling every pore of your being, My blood covering you, cleansing you, rising up with strength to be the victorious army of God, the real deal. How many are the real deal here this morning?
Amen.
Come on, I said, how many are the real deal here this morning? Now, in 1 Kings 22, the king of Israel and Judah had separated by this time, and Israel had walked away from the Lord. And the king of Israel wanted to go to battle. He wanted to get back some of the lands, that cities that had been taken from them. And he had Jehoshaphat with him, the king of Judah. And Jehoshaphat cared about the word of the Lord. And he said, is there anybody here who can give us a confirmation from the word of God? Anybody here? Are there any prophets here? How many prophets did the king of Israel bring out? How many remember the story? 400 prophets. And they're all out there building their little demonstrations, you know, their harnesses, and go, and you'll have victory, and everything's going to be great. After 400 prophets, Jehoshaphat looks up and he goes, isn't there a prophet of the Lord here? Makes you stop and wonder, Jehoshaphat, why are you there? If they don't respect the word of the Lord, why are you there? But he goes, the king of Israel says, well, there's one guy. Never prophesies anything good about me. We can go get him. He's in jail. And so they go and they find this one prophet, and the soldiers come in and they say, now look, we got a good thing going here. We got 400 people saying this is a great idea. I want you to play along. And the prophet says, don't you know I can only say what God tells me to say? That's all I can do. So they bring in the prophet. The king of Israel says, you know, give me the word of the Lord. And he gives him the word of the Lord. Oh, you'll have victory, right in line with the other 400. And the king of Israel says, how many times do I have to tell you to tell me the truth? He's kind of a strange mixture fella, isn't he? Yeah. He doesn't want to hear this, but he knows he's not telling them the truth. I wonder if he was delivering the word of the Lord in a mocking kind of way. Oh, you go have victory. Yeah. He says, you're not going to come back. You ain't going to make it. You aren't going to be blessed. And he turns to Joseph and says, see, I told you he wouldn't say anything good about me. By the way, if you want the word of the Lord, don't go with a preconceived notion about what he better speak to you. You better be open to saying, okay, Jesus, I'm ready to respond if you've got something you want to say to me. How many want the word of the Lord? Jehoshaphat, isn't there a prophet of the Lord here? The prophet looks at him basically, to quote a movie, saying, you can't handle the truth. You don't want the truth. But God wants us to daily see Jesus, to look into his word and see his face, to have our ears open to hear his voice, to see him, hear him, know him, walk with him, and hear his word. There's a raging controversy in the body of Christ. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it this morning. I spent a lot of time preparing for the message this morning to try to bring something really clearly that is kind of a controversy. Not kind of, it is a controversy in the body of Christ. The evangelicals say logos and rhema are interchangeable words used interchangeably. And there is not the typical charismatic definition. Because charismatics have often taught the written word is the logos. The spoken breathed word to your heart is the rhema. The evangelicals say that simply if you're going to be true to the word of God, that's just not the case. They are both used interchangeably, like curtains or drapes. And so when you go through Scripture, you'll see logos, you'll see rhema. And in fact, I'm here to tell you, they're right. Now, don't throw me out of the charismatic water just yet. But they're right. The problem is, when you take what's often taught in charismatic circles to extreme, it sounds like this. If you don't have a rhema, brother, you don't have the word of the Lord. Now listen, if you'd better get a rhema from God, or you have no place to expect the victory of the Lord. But if you get a rhema, you can go out and walk on water. That's what it sounds like to evangelicals, and it sounds awfully close to that. Come on, how many can be honest? Say, you've heard teachings like that before. And the reality is, and I'm here to tell you, and I'm going to say it with strength. If you don't have a rhema, but you got the logos, you got the power of the word of God in your hands. His word won't return void. And some people walk around with condemnation saying, I don't have a spoken word. You've got the spoken word of God in your hands when you've got the Bible in your hands. Wage warfare by the word of God. And if you've got the logos, he's the God who raises the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the word of God, every word of it is true. Someone say amen.
Amen.
So the problem comes when we swing to extremes. And the reality, church, is that there's truth on both sides. The reason, I'm just going to cut to the chase. The reason we live in this and devour this and love it and study it and commit it to our hearts and to our memories is because the Holy Spirit will speak on that verse and put it into your spirit as you're in the Word of God, and that Word will come alive and God will quicken you with a specific direction or word. And I'm also here to tell you that if you hear a voice that is contrary to this, throw it away. Pastor Sherry says, and I agree with her, it ain't worth the powder to blow it up. Amen. I'm telling you, it's got to be in here.
Yes.
But there's an awful lot in here that we don't walk in here. And he's working with us to get it in. But if we will study the Word of God, I'm sorry, I'm playing around with this morning. I must not have it taped on right. But if we will study this and devour the Word of God in our lives, if we will devour the Word of God and live in the Word of God, he will give us a living Word to guide us and to lead us. If you're never in this, you never have something for him to anoint and draw out. Okay? Word in, Word out. Come on, say it with me. Word in, Word out. If you insist on not being in the Word of God and still wanting victory, I'm here to tell you as your pastor who loves you, you ain't gonna have it. Okay? But if you're in the Word of God, you put something in, he can speak to you. Number one, logos is the power of the Word of God. Logos is. Greek term. Logos. Man, I did hours studying history back to Aristotle and Plato and the people where this whole thing got developed, because in Greek language, it was a concept that came through. But Christians the New Testament Christians pointed back to Old Testament Israel and understanding in their Hebrew. In Greek language, logos is referred to, if you will, as reason. The ability to reason. Remember, the Greeks pointed to man as the ultimate and man's ability to reason as the ultimate. But in God, you've got relationship with the living God who is alive and well, who spoke and breathed his word out with thought and reasoning and declaration. And so many authors over the course of history wrote down what he breathed and what he spoke. And that word is alive for us today, written down by 66 authors over thousands of years with an amazing consistent theme from a heart of God who gave us, thank God, the Logos to hold on to. The Logos is not inferior. The Logos is the power of the Word of God. Jesus is the Logos. Jesus is. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Guess what? The Word is there. Jesus. And what is the Greek word? Logos. Thank you for tracking with me. All right, number two, study his word, the Logos. 2 Timothy 2:15. We'll speak about that again a little while later. But study to show yourself approved. A workman who doesn't need to be ashamed studies the Logos of the Word of God, if you will, puts it into their heart and mind. Number three, there's power in the Logos. There's power in the Logos. We've already spoken to that. But listen to Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God, the Logos, listen, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Well, wait a minute. I thought in my old charismatic teaching, that was just, listen, the written word. But I have to have that breathed word, that spoken word, that rhema, if it's really going to be alive. And God is saying, hang on, church. This is the power of the Word of God. And if the enemy comes against you, pull out your scripture and wield the sword of the Spirit against him and make him flee in the name of Jesus. There's power. The Word of God literally changes us, shows us our motivations, shows us what's right and wrong, our hidden agendas. I know none of you in this room have any of those. No hidden agendas. He literally changes us from the inside out. How many want to be conformed to the image of Jesus? You wonder, what's God's will for my life? God's will is written right down. He wants you to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Be like him. Live like him. Act like him in your family, in your block, in the neighborhood, in the store. Live like him. Be him in this earth today. But Stephen is a powerful story. Now listen, Stephen in Acts chapter 6 verses 5 through 8 is literally powerful. Remember, a dispute arose in the early church because the Greek women and the other widows weren't being taken care of in the daily ministration of the word and the fellowship, but especially their natural needs, the food and the feeding programs. And so the Bible says, set aside certain people who can go about this business so the apostles could be about the business of seeking God in the word and in prayer. So they chose Stephen, it says in verse 6, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Verse 7, then the word of God spread. What do you think that Greek word is there? Logos. Then the Logos of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. A great many of the priests were obedient to the faith, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the apostles and among the people. Well, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit had fallen. When you have the Holy Spirit in your life, and you do when you become a believer, but there's an extra portion for you called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus that cleanses you and covers you, and you have the Word of God, folks, you are full of dynamite power. Turn to each other and say, you're a stick of dynamite. Power is released in the Bible when the Logos, the Word of God, is released. I'm going to say it to you really sincerely and full of heart. That's why at Grace Christian Center, this is our text. I'm not up here to give you three poems and reach back into Plato and Aristotle. Somebody else can do that for you somewhere else. But here in this church, I don't care if somebody wants me to do something different. I ain't doing something different. This is it. If we could spend our lives learning, growing, understanding, and studying this, that's just about enough for any lifetime. Then we get to go into eternity and do it for the rest of our lives. Lord, what did you mean? We're heading somewhere here. The power of God is released when the Logos is released. Signs, miracles, wonders released from the power of the Spirit and the Logos. I'm saying something, I'm repeating it, I know I am. I want you to know, if you don't feel like, well, I haven't had that special rhema from God, I haven't heard God speak to me in an audible voice either. You have the power of the Word of God in your hands and the Holy Spirit to apply His Word to your life, and the power and victory of Jesus is yours. This is not an also-ran to the voice. It all flows together. It's important. Let's go to Rhema. Rhema. I love the Rhema. We love the Word of God. How many love when God speaks to your heart? You know, you're in prayer and take your notebook with you, write down, and God says something to you. Now look, if God says, you know, you're the apostle of all the ages and you're supposed to leave your family and you're supposed to divorce your wife, I can tell you that's the voice of the devil. That's not the voice of God. Okay? Amen. It's always got to be judged according to the word, the written word of God. Yeah. Always. Okay? But rhema means an utterance. Individual, collective, or special, by implication, matter, or topic, especially if narration, command. So you can understand how the teaching can come, one's written, one's spoken. You can understand that in the definition. The problem is how it becomes extrapolated, how it becomes taught further down the line, and pretty soon we forget that they flow together. His rhema brings life. Watch the scripture. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every, what do you think it is? Every rhema. that proceeds from the mouth of God. John 6:63, the Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The world, or the words rather, rhema, that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. John 6:68, but Simon Peter said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, meaning the rhema of eternal life. As rhema brings life, as rhema brings cleansing. He talks in Ephesians, Paul does, about take on he talks about how the blood of Jesus cleanses you, and his purpose is to sanctify and cleanse her, the body of Christ, with the washing of water by the word. Rhema. His rhema gives strength for victory. Strength for victory. Ephesians 6 verse 18 is the scripture there. Take the helmet of salvation, our key text for this series. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema. Now listen, Hebrews 4 says, the word of God is sharp and powerful, dividing asunder the joints and the marrow. That sword? Logos. All of a sudden here, that sword? Rhema. They flow together. One's curtain, one's drapes. They're anointed by God to bring deliverance and strength in your life and mine. His rhema builds our faith. Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John 15:7. If you abide in me, my words, rhema, abide in you. You shall ask what you will. It shall be done unto you. Here's the difficulty. Please, I'm going to repeat this. This is really foundation laying in our understanding. If we are going to be true to the text of the word of God, we have to discern and decipher and get in and study and understand what is it the word teaches. Because if we extrapolate a teaching that the Bible doesn't teach, you have other people that go, wait a minute, that's not true. That's not right. That's not what the Bible says. So we have to be careful when we teach the word of God. Here's the difficulty. I'm going to repeat it. Charismatic teaching. That's Southern. Charismatic teaching is the Bible written as logos. The Bible, or the word spoken to Jesus to your heart, specifically rhema. But both words, and the evangelicals say, no, they're used interchangeably. And they are. They're both powerful. You put the logos in so the rhema can come forward. Amen. You put the logos in so the rhema, his breath, his anointing, his utterance, can come alive. How many have had that happen in your life? Come on, let's see it. You bet. How many want that to happen more? All right, what's the issue? I'm gonna cut to the chase of all this. I want you to hang in here with me. Give me another 2 hours. That's all I need. Has God said? Now listen really carefully to this. Why is all this important? Because the Word of God is our life. The Word of God is our life. Now hang in there and leave it right there, Pat, if you would, please. Thank you. In Genesis 1 and 2, God creates the heavens, the earth, man, places him in the garden, gives him Eve. I mean, he looks over at Eve when God created her and said, whoa, man. Call her woman. Anyway, that was a little joke. He walks with them, speaks his living word to them. Then comes the first temptation. Temptation hadn't been there until the serpent says, has God said? Did God really tell you this? The whole point is, if the devil can convince you that the word of God is not true, you don't have the word of God in your life. Did God really give you that victory? Did God really say, if the devil can come and twist you with deception out of the power of the word of God, then there's a bunch of neutralized Christians running around who don't have the power of the Holy Spirit because they're wandering around saying, I don't know if God really did say that. But God did say. and it's in the written word. This is crucial. You're not responding like it is, but it really is. It's crucial. Has God said? The devil wants to create doubt and fear and tempt you and cause you to forget. If you don't know, you won't grow. If you don't know, you won't grow. If you know, you grow and win the battle, has God said. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, diligent. He wants you to make effort. Make effort with the word of God. Present yourself. Show yourself. Stand up. Substantiate yourself that you are approved to God. You're acceptable. You've been through it. You stand up with the word of God. You're a worker, a toiler. You're a teacher. You're not ashamed. You're blameless and unreprovable. Rightly dividing. Do you know the word rightly dividing phrase? The reason we study this is so you can take out a scalpel and rightly divide what that meaning really is from the scripture. And if you're in the word, you'll understand the word. Mm-hmm. The sword of the spirit. What God says is vital. Live daily in his word. Now I want to give you several points. I want you to put his word in your mouth and in your heart. Now the heart, the mouth speaks. You confess it. How many know you could do a better job of confessing the word of God? Instead of confessing, I don't feel so good, why don't we confess I'm healed in the name of Jesus? Doesn't mean we lie about the symptoms. It means, you know, I would like some prayer from you, my brother or my sister, because I want to see that victory break forth in my life right now. And I'm going to confess, God has healed me. By his stripes, I am healed. And I'm going to put that word in my mouth. Logos and rhema together is your victory. You hear that? What do? You take time. You take your Bible to your time of prayer. You have a time of prayer. You take your Bible. Then you pray and you read the Word of God while you're praying and you ask Jesus to speak to your heart, to your mind, to give you insight. He will. He'll put it in your heart and mind. Watch the scripture. Romans 10 tells us in verse 8, what does it say? The Word, which is here, rhema, is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And church, that is your sword in the spirit, the word of God. Dean, would you help me pass these out, please? I'm going to go over this real quickly and then we'll come to a close. If you could pass, have somebody else help you out. We're going to go into something that I hope gives you simply some keys. I've had some people say to me over the years, I can't hear from God. How do I hear from God? And there's a certain direction I want you to have. Many of you have heard from God. Others would like to hear better. And you'll see the title of this page as you receive it is called Ears to Hear. Ears to Hear. Raise your hand up until you get it, would you? Raise your hand up if you don't have it yet. All right, they're coming to you. Give them to a third person if you can. Hand them out. Has somebody else helped this brother? Thank you so much. Amen. Hand up high if you don't have one yet, please. Pat needs one. Chris needs one over here. Very good. Thanks, guys. There's Alicia needs one too. So we need three more over here. And Michael needs one. Okay. There's Michael. Raise your hands so they can see you guys. Need three over here at this table, right over here. Let's go over these together. Ears to hear. We want to hear God's voice, but how? Sometimes it seems so difficult, but is it? Is it? There are some keys Jesus has given that will help. Mark 4, verse 9. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Reach up, grab your lobes. Say, I got ears.
I got ears.
Jesus uses this phrase to describe those who would stop, look, and listen. Didn't we all do those drills when we were kids in school? Stop, look, and listen. Stop and listen more deeply to him. It's more than hearing words. Words come in and go out. It's far more than just physically having ears, as you know. Hearing God's voice, receiving his teaching, means being willing to set aside time for him, to listen, to respond, to let him speak to your heart. Here's some keys. Number one, point to your heart, would you please? Everybody, point to your heart. The heart of the hearer. Hearing begins with a hearing heart, a listening heart. I'm sorry. Hearing begins, read that with me, please, with a listening heart. For Samuel 3, we record about Samuel, and he got a word in the middle of the night. Samuel, Samuel. And he runs to the old prophet Eli. Says, yes, yeah, you called for me. And Eli says, I didn't call for you. Happens twice. Happens the third time. Finally, the priest wakes up and says, go back to God. Tell him, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Does God have a listening vessel in you and me? He was a child. He hadn't learned yet to hear the word of God. He was humble in his own eyes. Remember, Jesus says, come as a child. You know, he was humble. He had a teachable spirit. He was gullible. The children are gullible. And he said, I'm your servant. I'm not full of myself. I'm not bringing myself to the table. I'm coming to hear and see you, Jesus. I'm wanting to hear what you say. I don't want to fight with you. I don't want to struggle with you. I just want to hear you. You have control. The heart of the hearer, hearing begins, say it with me again, with a listening heart. Now the ears of the hearer, put your hands up to your lobes again. The ears of the hearer, talk to me about ear consecration. You understand that you're devoted to God. You make purposeful choice about what you're going to listen to. And I'm telling you again as your pastor, shut off the garbage. If you are looking at pornography, close it down, shut it out, and come get help and get cleaned by the blood of Jesus. You will not expect to hear the word of God if you're putting the word of garbage in. Amen? Amen. You're strong about this. You bet I'll even be stronger if it helps. Shut out the garbage. Watching stuff, listening to stuff, arguing over stuff that makes no sense in time and eternity. Shut it out. Consecrate your ears. I surrender, Jesus. I surrender. How you hear is crucial. I want to say again, and I've written it down, if you only want to hear what you want to hear with a preconceived notion and desire, rather than what God is truly saying, you're going to have distress and difficulty. You need to come to an end of wanting your own way. That's consecration. Now, I know that's serious talk. I know that. You know, we've been in ministry for 45 years. We've had people that we've counseled for years and years and years. And some people wanted time and wanted attention, but didn't really want help. Because if we didn't say exactly what they wanted, they had their mind all made up. And if we didn't say exactly what they wanted, I have been accused and yelled at and charged and everything else. And all I really tried to say was, you sure? Is that really what God's saying? I care about your soul enough to say something contrary to what you want to do if it's not according to the Word of God. Amen. If it's going to destroy you and hurt your family. And if it's not going to help you, I will at least look at you and say, why don't you slow down on this thing? And let's seek God. Don't just carry a preconceived notion to either your pastors or leaders or to the Bible or to the Spirit. Lord, what is it you want to say? What is it you want to say? See Isaiah 30. The first part of Isaiah 30, the people say to their spiritual leaders, just bring us a word we want to hear. Don't give us that other stuff. Just prophesy what makes us feel good. By the end of the chapter, those people were broken and needy. And they were crying out to God for restoration. And God hears your cry. And that literally in the Hebrew, that word means they were crying. They were shrieking out to God with an intensity of spirit. They were ready to adhere to God. They'd had enough of the garbage and they said, I don't want to go there anymore. God, what are you really trying to say to me? I want to hear it. I don't want just my own way. I want your way. And they fastened themselves to him with hunger to hear his voice. And verse 21 says, that's the context where it then says, you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So you've got the ears, the heart, three, the commitment of the hearer. Your hearing ear is tied to your commitment to do what he's saying. Isaiah 60, I've written it down in both the Message as well as the New King James. Isaiah 50, rather, verses 4 and 5. The Lord's given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear and what? And I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. The Master God has given me a well-taught tongue, so I know how to encourage tired people. He wakes me up in the morning, wakes me up, opens my ears to listen as one ready to take orders. The Master God opened my ears, and I didn't go back to sleep. Didn't pull the covers back over my head. Hey, you know, have you ever had that where the Lord will wake you up and you go, this is an ungodly hour, I ain't getting up now. And the Lord's just kind of whispering your name, and you can't go back to sleep. And if you try hard enough, you probably can, and you don't hear what he wanted to say to you. Number four, the surrender of the hearer. The hungry to hear, pray, God open my ears. Can you do that? Could you do this? Hold your hand, lay hands on your ears, both of them. Say, Lord Jesus, open my ears. Let me hear your voice. Speak to my heart from your word. Psalm 40 verse 6 says, my ears you have opened. And literally in Hebrew, it means you've digged out my ears. Anybody ever use a Q-tip?
Yes.
If you didn't, you probably should by now. But have you ever used a Q-tip and pushed a little too hard? Ended up with, I can't hear anything. Sometimes I've had to go to a doctor, and the doctor will clean those ears out. It's amazing what sound is really like. You get it cleaned out. Lord, dig out my ears. Let me hear your voice. Then just surrender to him. I surrender, Jesus. Whatever you want to say. Just some clues, some cues, some clues, some simple ways to hear. You can hear the voice of God through the Bible. Specific verses will speak to you. Through hearing his voice to you personally, he wants to speak. You'll hear God through other people. Pastors, leaders, sermons, friends. How about through life events? How many realize sometimes God's spoken to you by bringing a frustrating situation you don't want in your life, but it changed your direction? And you look back later and go, phew, thank God. And it's not always easy. And then there's subjective dreams, vision, prophetic words. Please hear me. Please make sure they agree with the Word of God. Remember, his Old Testament name is Jehovah, which literally means the self-existent one who reveals himself. He reveals himself to us through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us and teaches us and leads us through his logos and through his rhema, and he wants to speak to his listening, loving people. Church, is that you this morning? The word of the Lord. Now, if the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, I pray that you are encouraged with a few clues or keys on what can I do? How can I grow in this? Because God wants to talk to us. And here we are, candidates for what he wants to do. Amen? Amen. Let's go back to that last song again that we did. Everybody sing it along with us. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Then we'll go from this place expecting to hear from God. How many believe the Lord's speaking to you even this morning? Anybody hear anything from Jesus in the Spirit this morning? Whether it's conviction or grace or mercy or encouragement and confirmation, it's all about the voice of the Lord speaking to us. He's ready to speak. Lord, you hear the cry of our hearts this morning. Our hearts are to hear you, to see you, to walk with you. Lord, let your word resonate in our spirits. We love your logos. We love your rhema. We're not here to fight with anybody about it. We're just hungry enough to say, Lord, speak to our hearts. Now, I believe, Lord, we're at a time where you're changing our lives. And there are some people in this room who are at a time of transition in their faith, in their walk with you, in a really good way. Some just need a little more encouragement to step out and to go reach out to that person who's been resisting the gospel. But as they obey you again, they're going to see people come to you. Some need just some encouragement this morning to respond to the word of God you put in their heart, to go minister healing to someone, to stand on your word. Some people in this room wake up in the night and they think that no one sees their lonely time. But Jesus, you're speaking to someone right now. You see them. You know them. And your arms are around them. And Lord, as their pastor and friend this morning, I release upon them peace in the name of Jesus. A fresh word for their own spirit. Word of encouragement that comes from you. Now, Lord, we thank you for what you've done here today, for your healing power, your strength. We've come and we've had church together where the people gather in the presence of the Lord. When we go from this place today, I pray that each person is encouraged in their own souls, knowing my God has spoken to me already today, and the words of God are coming, words of life. In Jesus' name, raise your hands, will you, for the blessing of the Lord? I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now release your people in joy in this day, in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Word in.
Word out.
Word out. God bless you. Be released in the presence of God. Amen.